Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In Joshua chapter 3, God's people are about to cross over into the promised land. They've come out of Egypt. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years because of their own obstinance. And they've come to a place now where they're going to pass over into what God promised them, this land flowing with milk and honey, that God will give them victory over the people of those the peoples of that land. But there's something that stands between where they are at and the promise. It's this river. And so we find ourselves at that place in Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to read just some selective verses throughout that chapter. Verse 2, it says, "At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, 'As soon as you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.' Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves. Cleanse yourselves. Separate yourself. Make things right between you and God. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua said to the priests, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" Down to verse 15. "And as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped into the brink of the water, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away." Verse 17. "Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan." You know, it was kind of like waters of destiny, really, for them. God made this promise to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And it was a long journey and a lot of experiences in that wilderness. A lot of experiences in the wilderness. God's people were purged or died along the way in their faith, in their trust, learning how to follow God and understand that he is really their king and provider. He did all kinds of things in those 40 years, even though they murmured and complained and had grievances with God. Even some of them said, we might as well just go back to Egypt and be slaves. Life there was better. God was so patient and kind, and Moses interceded and had conversations with God. And finally they get to this place, and there's something that separates them from the promise. Something that separates them from the victory. And it's these waters. And God gives instruction. He says, "I want your priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to go down. And the rest of you should follow behind, but keep a distance so you know how to navigate, because you have not been this way before." And when the priests get to the edge of the water, those carrying the ark, the covenant, they were supposed to walk just a few steps into the water. The river's still flowing. This is harvest time that they're doing this. And it's a known fact that in the harvest time, the Jordan overflows its banks. And they step into the waters, and as they step into the waters and then just stand there, way upstream, way upriver, the waters hold up. And they begin to pile up. And the water from there downriver just begins to wash and keep flowing until the ground is dry. And they stayed there. And everybody passed through on dry ground to the other side. You know, it's not just that God loves us, but He has a purpose and a destiny for all of our lives. And in this life, we sometimes feel like we're in a wilderness. When will my time come? When will my victory come? When will the promise manifest in my life? When will it go from just hanging on, believing, and having faith and manifest to a point where I can cross through the waters to a destination, to a destiny, to a promise, to a victory, to a healing, whatever it is that we're looking for. Whatever it is that God has revealed to you that He wants to do in and through your life. Some of it is some of the very same things in each of our lives because it's in His Word and it is for all of us. But there are purposes that are also individual. Purposes that are for your life that are different than Lori's life. And yet some of them are the same. They are these things. But there are some personal things that are different in each of our lives. I don't know if you feel like you're in a wilderness or you've been on the bank or you haven't crossed the Jordan, and I want you to know that I think there's some principal instructions for us. It was interesting that before they followed the presence of God into the river, that they had to consecrate themselves. That they had to be conscientious to set themselves apart. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. The Holy Spirit continues to work in our life to keep us sanctified. In other words, continue that we would live clean, that we would change, that we would know how to repent when we do things wrong and get it taken care of and continue to change our life and keep us clean and maintain the righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ, not on our own. But there's this consecration, that there's times to pause and to set aside moments where we say, you know, I need to set myself apart for God. I want God to do something very particular in my life, or God has indicated that He wants to do something in my life, and I haven't had this breakthrough. I haven't crossed the river. So, you know, there's moments, I mean, we seek Him and walk with Him every day and night, but there are moments that we set aside for, inventory, or fasting and prayer, or the putting away of recreation, or the putting away of some regular routine things so that we can more intensely clue into what God might be saying to us. Joshua said, consecrate yourselves. In other words, step it up because God's about to do something. Pay closer attention. I think that's something that we all need to consider. So what do I do to set myself apart? Something extra, something additional, something where I'm paying closer attention. Because I want to cross through these waters and get to a destiny, a promise, a place, a healing, a deliverance, whatever it is. I want to prepare myself. I want to prepare myself to follow the presence, because step one was consecrate. The second was watch, don't follow too closely, but watch the Ark of the Covenant and the priests going down, because you've not traveled this way before. Listen, there are some things that, you know, we just kind of routinely kind of live life. Where are the new places in God? What are the new things that He wants to do in and through us? Or don't we have a hope? Don't we live with a hope that something fresh and something new and something different, that there's another phase, another tier, another layer, another depth, another promise? The only way that we cross is by following, watching God and following His presence, because He may be taking us, taking you in a way that you have not gone before. That's for us as individuals, but I think part of that is for us as a church. I'm looking for days where He has not brought us before. I'm looking for days for something to be different, a new depth, a new maturity, a new experience, a new expression of faith and faithfulness to happen in this church right here. A way where we haven't gone before, a way where we can't just say autopilot. Or we always do this, or we've always done it that way, or we haven't always done it that way, we've just been doing it that way for the last 6 years. Something different, a way where we have not gone before. And the only way that we are going to get there is if we keep an eye on the Lord and follow His presence to bring us to the place of His choosing where we cross. I've had the privilege through my lifetime of ministry to work for and be around talented people. Because I'm just kind of a nobody from nowhere. And I've had the privilege of working with some people who are very talented, very skilled. Some on staff, some were pastors, some were fellow staff pastors, some were leaders in different churches who were very gifted. Knew how to get things done. But I want you to know, when it comes to crossing a river of destiny to step into God's promise, a man-made bridge will never do. The things that we are anticipating and looking for in God, we're going to have to be consecrated. We're going to have to obey Him. We're going to have to pay close attention. We're going to have to follow His presence. And then at that point, it's about obedience. He said, I want those priests to just step into the water a few steps and stand there. Well, what about the bridge? What about the boat? What about the ship? What about, like, I don't know, maybe a bunch of wave runners? No. What about a tunnel? No. You mean your plan to get to your destiny is to follow the presence of God and just stand in the water? See, the temptation for talented, skillful people of ingenuity is to make something and help God. Oh, Lord, I'm thankful I'm coming out of the wilderness and finally at the water, the crossing place of destiny. Thank you. There's water in between, but don't worry, I can handle it from here. I'll build a bridge. I'm a good swimmer. I'm going to make a boat. I'm going to. You're not going to do any of those things if they weren't God's plan. God said, you royal priesthood, Because this isn't just Levitical priests now. We take this, and so it impacts our life today. We are told in 1 Peter that we are the royal priesthood, that God lives in us, that this is the Ark of the Covenant, the new covenant in Jesus Christ, that your body, Paul writes, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God resides and lives. This is the Ark. Follow His presence. Where is He leading? Where is He bringing me? Because I have not gone this way before. And when we get to the place of crossing for the fulfillment of God, the next step, the next victory, the next healing, whatever it is, it's not about that moment of saying, thanks for bringing me this far. Thanks for putting up with my complaining, my murmuring. Thank you for purging me. Thank you for bringing food in on the wind with birds. Thank you for bringing water flowing out of a rock where there was no water. Thank you for all that. I'll take it from here. It's finishing in obedience. Consecrating ourselves. Allowing His presence to lead us and following His leading. Coming to the place of crossing to the new promise, to the new destiny. You right here? You, what we call young people? Not that I'm really smart, but I wish I could take all of this in here, okay, of my 48 plus years. I could have said that differently. I could have said 35 plus. 48 plus, not quite 49. I wish I could take all this and put it in here. Not hypothetically. I mean in here in this boy, my son, my flesh and blood. It's not that I know a lot. It's just I know more than he does. Now, not when it comes to, you know, pre-calculus and all those pre-calc and calc. I'm not talking about that. That stuff you can keep. I don't have any interest in. But faith, life experience, the measure of wisdom which God has given me right here. I mean, I'm proud of him. I'm grateful for him. He's intelligent. He is smart. He's above average. Okay? That probably comes from my wife's side of the family. But the experiences of life and faith and challenge and battle and the things I would love to just pour in here. And I try to. And I'll tell you what, he's good about it. Some things he's just going to have to learn on his own. Or just go, oh, this is one of those moments. What did my dad say? Or say, oh, that was one of those moments. Why didn't I do what my dad said? Just like the rest of us. But I point to you young people because, you know, us old folks, a lot of our life is over. And all things being equal, you got a whole lot of things ahead of you. I mean, stuff that's greater than, I don't know, Modern Warfare 2. 3. Or whatever number you're on. Stuff that's greater. Stuff that's more important. And stuff that's not pretend. Somebody's got to say, come on, give me an amen. Sorry. About coming to a place of all these other opportunities, all these promises, all these rivers that you are going to cross and that some of you are about to cross. Leaving home. Leaving your church family. A new life. But you know what? I still got some rivers to cross. See, you ain't the only two. I've got some rivers to cross. I've got some promises lingering out there. There's some purposes still out there for this old boy. Maybe your deliverance is out there. Your healing. A new step. A new phase. I admire the Stoles who packed up their 48 kids. All their belongings. By the way, he called me last night. It was not an uneventful trip, but they are there and safe. Couple of breakdowns and they're crossing a river, and it's not the Mississippi. When you come to the place of crossing, don't keep pacing the bank looking for an easier way. You come to the place of crossing. You followed his presence. Let him open the waters, but do what he says. You're going to have to get your feet wet. You're going to have to step in. Listen, in my life, and once we started having children, and Sue and I felt like we had to cross some rivers, and we had to do some relocating, and we had to do some other things, and all of this, we would have to step into the waters. My kids didn't have to step into the waters. Mom and Dad had to step into the waters, and they got to walk through on dry ground. But they saw how it was done, and how it was supposed to be done, and how God revealed things. And you know what? He started to cause them to start to step into waters for their own life. So that my grandchildren can walk across on dry ground because Mom and Dad stepped into the water and followed the presence of God. Friends, you got to start stepping into the water. You have not passed this way before. And that's when we begin to understand that He is our security. He is our stability. He is our King. He is our provider. We get anxious about all those things when we start to take it into our own hands. Because what we take into our own hands is insufficient, and we try to make it sufficient. I'm not saying we shouldn't work. I'm not saying we shouldn't labor. I'm not saying that we shouldn't use our minds that God has given us. But don't use your mind and your giftings against the one who gave it to you. Obey Him. Consecrate yourself. Follow His presence. Follow His word. And when it comes to the place of crossing, step into the waters and let God do His part. If you build your bridge and dig your tunnel and get your wave runner and your little dinghy and buy a ticket for the ferry, He's not holding up the waters. Mm-mm. He's going to let them loose. And you will not cross. You will not cross. Our bridge will fail. Our tunnel will collapse. Our dinghy will get a hole. The wave runner will explode. Something will happen. He is our security. We can say it. It's another thing to step into the waters by His direction, by obeying Him. When it doesn't make sense to your gifting, your talent, your intelligent mind. He made the promise, and it's His promise to give. We're going to take time. We're going to pray with people this morning because some of you need to come out of the wilderness and find the crossing. But you got to consecrate yourself. You got to set yourself apart for God. Some of you are camping out and saying, this is good enough, I like the routine. And God says, I want to bring you to through a place you have never been before. And you have to have your eyes on me. Our eyes need to be on him and follow his presence into something new. How in the world do we expect to get to a new promise when we don't want to move and we just want to keep things status quo in the way they are? And we just call that God's blessing and faithfulness. Yeah, but what about the new stuff? What about the places and the things he still wants to do and bring us in our spiritual walk, our spiritual journey, our spiritual calling? Some of you are on the shore and you're coming up with a plan. Go back to what you heard from him, what you read from him. Hold on to it. For some, it's just a principle that we need to obey. A principle of his word. Oh, but if I obey that direction, that command, that's going to have a ripple effect over here. And now how am I going to fix all that? And how am I going to do all that? He knows how to do all the rest, too. He knows how to do all the rest. Chances are some of that stuff we've entangled ourselves with and we allow it to continue to hold us from crossing the river. We're enjoying having the wilderness behind us and this is good enough and I don't want anything new or fresh or more or any other promise. This is good enough. I'll just have life by this side of the river. Some of you are at a crossing place. You've consecrated yourself. You are endeavoring to follow his presence. Now, step into the waters, an act of obedience, an act of faith that is new, something you haven't done before. And let him hold up the waters that you can walk across on dry ground and enjoy the milk and honey and the victories that the new promise, the new land, the new healing, the new deliverance, the new provision gives you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.